5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
People that she was with tried to make her believe that this place was haunted, but she wouldn't believe it. And just as she was about to go out the door, something pulled her hair. And the employee that was taking care of the candies downstairs started laughing at her and said, see, we told you there's ghosts in this building.
Verna Quartz and I go back a long ways. We have been doing the Weston Ghost Tales forever. Actually, Verna's been doing them all by herself for a long time, but I just kind of went along for the ride for a few outings. And I'm glad, because this is a dynamic, spooky town, Weston, Missouri. And Verna, the story that got her started was the haunted desk. Let's kick off with that, because people go to antique stores and they don't realize sometimes they bring home extras, whether they're a tourist or baggage or a nuisance. It depends on your perspective. You got a winner with the captain's desk.
Yes. I've had his experience since 1995. I acquired him in the Kansas City area where a man was trying to sell his antiques. He knew nothing about it, but I was just drawn to the desk, and I brought it to my antique store. Through the years researching, I have found where he's buried, what he did in his life, and last year, I had the honor of visiting his grave, escorted by his sheriff's department of the town in Texas.
The sheriff department escort, was that like a perk? I'm curious.
It was a fluke. We had gone on a winter trip to South Texas. We wanted to find the desk. It was in a small town, Eagle Lake, Texas. And I thought I knew where the cemetery was. We pulled into a courthouse, and we were reading the historic signs. And the policeman came up behind us and said, when you're done reading that sign, go over and look in the ground. My father put a time capsule there. We're going to open that in 2 years. I walked over to the police car, and I said, this is what brought me to town. I'm looking for this man. And he said, I know exactly where the grave is. And I said, well, I think I do. I went by a funeral procession on the way in here. I think I can find the cemetery. He said, no, get in your car and follow me to the grave. So we went back into this old moss-draped area, and it was an old Masonic cemetery. He got out of the car, told me to stop, and started pointing at the grave. He said when he was a little boy, he used to live over there, and he'd go to school over there, and he would ride his bicycle every day to school and back. He knew who the person was. Come to find out, after the Civil War, my spirit moved to Texas and became one of the first mayors of one of the first towns in Texas. So we found him on internet. Now that the internet is getting wider and wider, we've finding all kinds of information.
You found out the desk was haunted. How did that happen?
I had a medium come and verify that I had a ghost, that it came with the desk. I kind of suspicioned, you know, it felt special to me. And I suspicioned, and this person told me that it was for sure. Right after that, I had a man that wanted to buy an antique pocket watch in my shop. The pocket watch was Civil War era. And I started telling him about the desk and that it was haunted. The next week, he came back on his way to a mutiny in Kentucky because they weren't getting paid reenactment. When he walked in, he had his Union uniform on. But that time, Captain James, my desk, he was a Confederate soldier. I started having trouble in my antique shop. I broke a $300 vase. I couldn't find my tools. Even bad odors, body odors, would be present in the store. So I knew that he was upset with me. So I sat down and talked to him, gave him a rose. And I said, if you ever appear to me, I want you in full dress uniform so I know who you are. That's never happened. Then I bought the building here in Weston and brought the desk to Weston. That's when I first saw images. But I don't know if it was him. It was just a gray shadow walking through the building.
Other people have had sensations and experiences around that desk.
I had at one time 7, 8 employees that worked for me all the time because it was the old candy shop, the soda fountain, ice cream store. All the employees, when they started to work for me, they were always told, we have a ghost. Do you have a problem with ghosts? Of course, they wouldn't believe me until they had experiences. One of them is going to tell about that at the dinner theater. I've had many customers tell me I have ghosts. You know, it's one of those things that you just have to believe. If other people see it, it's there, even if it can't be explained.
The stairway to that building, the tripping action that goes up on that stairway, just to, you know, for people who don't believe and need a little kickstart, this is it.
And the cold spot also. We feel that someone sits in the steps just waiting for what? I don't know. Just waiting just to be. They're tricksters. My ghosts are tricksters.
And there's also one in the hallway. This is the hallway that goes to the bathrooms.
That's the one that talks to me. She doesn't say much. Just one sentence. Like, where are you going? Or, that was a hard job. It's just something simple. But she makes her presence. But that's the female ghost that has been there since she passed away in the early 60s, 1960s. The other ghost passed away in 1958. Those are the two that are very dominant there, plus the captain with the desk. But then again, sometimes we have antiques that come in and go, and they possess their own little genre, their own little spirits. It's kind of eerie. I've only had encounter with two uncomfortable ghosts, and spirits, and that's it.
That was when they were doing their exploration, their investigation of whether it was haunted?
Missouri Western University. They were scared there when the ashtray moved. And then another time, we had a picture fall off the wall, and it broke an antique display cabinet. I still have that cabinet. I have it all duct taped together, but I still have that cabinet just as a remembrance that you can do their job and make us scared. And what I love, my guests that come into the store, they said, well, what's going to happen? Where are they? Can you tell me? Where are they? I want an experience. I can't do that. You have to possess the experience yourself. Or my spirits have to let you know that they're around in their own way.
During the Halloween season, usually 3 or 4 nights, you'll have a dinner event, Dining with Ghosts, and that's what I've been part of. And it was fun to hear the backstory of some of the local areas. And there are several that are extremely haunted, and they may not be open to the public because people live there, and they live there, shall I say, uncomfortably or comfortably, depending on how active the house is. What is the most haunted that you know of right now?
The most haunted building is 501 Main Street. That's where I'm going to have the dinner theater presented. The ghost of the community theater for Weston, to make money, is going to take people out on the street and point out the different buildings that I have accumulated stories about. A hotel. I ask people, are you staying overnight? And they will tell me, and I ask them what building they stay. It's a hotel, one of the bed and breakfast. And I just kind of give them, you know, that high eyebrow to make them wonder if they're haunted or not when they see my Ghost Tales of Weston book. It gets into a good conversation. It's fun.
Well, and one year there were some people who were visiting Weston, and when they visited, they took pictures outside the St. George Hotel and had no idea until afterwards that there was something in one of the windows.
And came to me and showed me. It's in my book. I have pictures of it, and I've also put it on TV at the time. Now, I don't know if anybody's ever been on TV as an interview, but they'll film you for about 45 minutes in different takes. I was on live TV for 3 seconds.
I was going to say, yeah. It's like, okay, there's the live shot. You're done.
Yep, you're done. You're done. But we have never seen the shadow again. But still in that hotel, we have encounters all the time of people sleeping, somebody else in the room, children running up and down the hall. It's one of those places that people, after they have their Saturday night drinking fun, they go to sleep. And it may not be just a ghostly spirit. It might be the spirits that they've taken care of and put in their body the night before. So it's a different type of spirit.
I remember one of the guests at one of the dinners who had a really frightening experience, and I can't remember if it was at the hotel. It escapes me. Do you remember that story?
He was in the elevator, and he panicked. And people started running because they didn't know what it was. He has done a lot of research for me since, for the book, Finding Captain James. He was glued to the town. I haven't seen him since, so I don't know.
We assume he's still alive.
But scared to come back.
Yeah, but had enough. Yeah, it's like, okay, that's one ghost too many. There's also Civil War history there. Slave owners were in this town, and they segregated the cemetery.
There's a lot of slave owners that brought the tobacco from Kentucky West, and it's what used to be called the Little Dixie River, which was the Missouri River. And slave owners would grow tobacco along that stream. We were a generous part of it because we were the second largest city in the state of Missouri before the Civil War. So there were a lot of slaves here per capita, but during the 1850s, there was a cholera epidemic. And within 1845, from 1849 to 1852, a lot of people were scared because of the cholera. It's just like what we went through with COVID a few years ago, that we were scared to be around other people. Part of that mass grave could be part of people that were buried during the cholera epidemic. But our cemetery is marked as a free cemetery for slaves during that era. We think the count keeps going up. It was 200, and now they think there's over 250 unmarked graves in the cemetery. Our cemetery was one that would only accept blacks before the Civil War, which is a fortunate thing for us because we were able to take care of them with their burial. It's a great cemetery to walk through. Lots and lots and lots of history, and it is on the National Register for Historic Places. My sister's name is Josephine, and when we were up walking through the cemetery last fall, she found a stone laying on the ground, and it was Josephine. I can't remember her last name, but she was a riverboat captain, and she was from the Virgin West Indies, and she was buried 1841. We also have a lot of popular names buried in the cemetery also. Buffalo Bill Cody's aunt is buried there. The Holidays, part of the Holiday family, is buried there. There's quite a few. Even some of the people that helped keep the history documented from this town, which has done a great job.
Some of the places are open to the public that are known for, you know, being haunted. One of them is O'Malley's Pub, and this is a very unique building with underground tunnels.
1847 is when it was created. It used to be a brewery, and they would put barrels of ear on the creek and take them down to the Missouri River and put them on riverboats. And they would go south or north. Royal Bruin was very popular at the time. The building we have found is at least five stories. The main floor is ground level. So it goes very, very deep. Then we also have the distillery, McCormick Holiday Distillery here. And it's become world famous. They offer great, great tours. Every time I have family come to town, I like to take them there because it's just a beautiful place. They've done very well. There's a lot of things in West Tennessee. Fantastic museum. We have a dedication museum to Lewis and Clark also, because this is one of the places that is documented in Lewis and Clark's Court of Discovery that they stopped and camped overnight so they could cut down a tree to fix the mast on their keelboat. And before that, we had Fort Leavenworth that was started 1821. So the soldiers would come over here because we had spirits over here even at that time, other kind of spirits.
For information about Verna's books, WestonMainStreetAntiques.com. You still collect stories.
Oh, I still collect stories almost every week, if not every day.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
2 weeks ago, there was a lady from Oklahoma City. She came in to tell me her story. Well, do you believe in ghosts? Yes. Okay. It was about her grandfather. Her grandfather always sat in the recliner, always had a yellow shirt. Mother got to the point where she absolutely hated the shirt. She refused to wash it. So he would wash it, fix it up, and wear it all the time. Well, her children would remember that shirt above everything. And when the two daughters became pregnant at different times, they had said that they had seen their grandfather wearing that shirt. Well, the first question I asked was, did the shirt have snaps? I could visualize this man sitting in a recliner with this Western shirt on with snaps. But she replied, yes. And it had all the cowboy cut and everything. And I thought, yeah, I'm doing pretty good, aren't I? I can intervene with some ghosts. It's not even around me, but the people bring their spirits with them. And her father's spirit was probably with her at the time.
There's other ghost tales that you talk about, too, that are local. One was the dog owned by a local resident. I believe the dog's name is Luna.
Mm-hmm. Luna. Two ladies. They're artists. They promote their art. They had a big white shepherd, and they would walk it all the time. And other people, when they come to town, different merchants, they become friends with these two older ladies. One day, one of the new merchants had their niece with them. And they were coming home from church, come down the Weston Hill. The daughter said, there's a dog. It's a white dog. Its name is Luna. And she did not know anything about the dog. But then as she looked down the street, she described to her aunt all the horses and buggies and how people wore funny-looking clothes. We assume that she saw something from the past. And we get that a lot here. Even with the other Mary's house. Do I need to talk about that?
Yes, talk about the other Mary.
The other Mary. Okay. President Lincoln had three girlfriends. He married his third one. His second one was a very affluent lady that he was courting Her name was Mary Owens from Kentucky, well-to-do. Well, she decided in some of the history books, it stated that Abraham Lincoln was just too backwoods, just not proper enough for her and her family. So she decided not to marry him. She married another man, come west, settled just outside of Weston. His name was Jesse Vineyard. He was a merchant because this town was so busy and it was constant sending things west to settle the states west of the Missouri River. We call her Mary Owens Vineyard, Lincoln's other Mary. Well, she passed away and she moved to town. When it was sold after her death, they found a bureau dresser that had a picture of her and a picture of Lincoln in the drawer. It's kind of a fun story. Also, that's where we see the little boy that runs the town that has no claim to anyone or anything. And you can just see him anywhere. He'll pop in here, he'll pop in there. No exclamation.
The bed and breakfast. The hatchery is the one I'm thinking of.
Oh, the hatchery house, yes. It has changed owners a few times. And the owners now, they think they have ghosts. And the people that were here yesterday stayed at the hatchery, so I'm hoping they bring a good story back to me. A friend of mine that I used to walk in the park with every day used to own it, and she was very upset. They were cleaning the house for Saturday, getting ready for Saturday night's guest, and her husband said that he was going to go to the grocery store and get a few things for breakfast. She was vacuuming. Her husband was standing behind her. And the more she claimed, the madder she got, because he was just standing there, not doing anything, not doing his part. She was about ready to turn off the vacuum sweeper to give him a piece of her mind. And he appeared. And he said, well, I told you. I went to the grocery store. I even locked the door behind me. And she said, but you were standing right here, and why did you change your shirt? You were wearing plaid when you were standing behind me. After that, after she told me that story, we both agreed that she had a ghost encounter. And other people still see people in that bed and breakfast.
I had the urge to call you. And one of the things I didn't think about until later was because it was so similar. I was vacuuming. Andy had been out doing errands, and I'm vacuuming facing the front door. Behind me, I pick up activity and realize that he's walking from the kitchen back to the back room. And I think, okay, fine. He was in a hurry. He didn't look at me. And I just thought that was kind of odd, because usually he'll, you know, hey, I'm here, whatever. But he, and I thought, well, I'm vacuuming. I'll just wait. Then I continued vacuuming, but he didn't come out of the back room. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that's kind of odd. So now that has my attention, because he normally wouldn't be just come home and go hang out in the back room. I'm putting the pieces together as I continue to vacuum and decide I can quit. I'm going to the back room to see. And I call his name, Andy. And I know at this point, he's not really there. He isn't there. So, yep, he isn't there. I'm perplexed, because that was completely unexpected. Andy comes in about 5 or 10 minutes later, and I said, you were here. He's what? You know, what? And I realized that the person I saw was a little thinner, a little taller, and had a long sleeve shirt, so I wouldn't have been able to tell any kind of a body disposition. And the reality was that he did not look at me, and he was in a big hurry. And I have no idea what I saw, but that's the exact scenario of the hatchery ghost story. And I thought, what the heck? How convenient and how incredibly interesting that I would have a very similar experience in my own house. There you go, the backstory.
Well, another thing, you called me a few weeks ago and you said that you found some money.
Yeah.
And that's pretty well what got everything started. And when my husband passed away and I went home for the first time, as I opened the door, there was 3 pennies in the floor. if I went in. And I just started bawling. Because he always said that he would always make sure that I was comfortable and I didn't have to worry about money. But Wendy, right now I'm standing at the front door of my building and there's a penny out there on that street.
There you go. A little reminder.
Mm-hmm. A little reminder. Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, you can say it's coincidence or synchronicity or an accident, but these things are specific and they're, I believe, intentional, because when we need that information or that kind of activity or interaction, it's there. And yeah, it wasn't a penny, but it was money. And that is kind of your signature, finding money. And there was just that thing of, oh, say, what's going on? Well, you're sold out for your events in Weston again this year. And that's one of the things that has become like a staple, the ghost tales of Weston dining with ghosts. There's so many stories, and knowing they continue to happen also helps too, because the one I remember, there were some tourists who came into your shop at one point. One, they had been up to Atchison, and that was a big deal. But they were kind of just making fun of the ghost aspect, and one lady really didn't believe it completely. You want to tell that one?
Was that the one where my ghost pulled the hair?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she was a non-believer. It was a big shopping day, and a lot of people were here, like a Saturday, and she had gone to the restroom. The people that she was with tried to make her believe that this place was haunted. She wouldn't believe it. And just as she was about to go out the door, something pulled her hair. And the employee that was taking care of the candies downstairs started laughing at her and said, uh-huh, see, we told you there's ghosts in this building. And she walked outside because the other ladies were using the restroom, and she would peek in the window, but she refused to come back in. My ghosts aren't mean. They're just tricksters.
Yeah, and that's to say anything could happen. It, you know, like a picture falls off the wall or the ashtray moves, what you were talking about earlier. There was one where one of your employees was staying there and the phone was ringing and there was no answer. And at one point she had two phones, I think, and then each one was calling the other one.
She stayed overnight because it was dinner theater after dinner theater, and we opened for breakfast that morning. So we had a full, almost 24 hours. And she decided to sleep over. But she had her cell phone and she had an iPad. She was going to watch a movie. And the phone rang to the store. But she got up to answer it and it went dead. And then I had the phone connected to my phone, which I was living across the street. So my phone would ring. Then she said that her cell phone would ring. And then the our business phone would ring. And then it was ringing back and forth. Finally, I called her from my phone, my cell phone. And I said, what's going on over there? And she said, I don't know. She said, the phone, but I get there and the phone's dead. And it even rings my cell phone. And finally, she said, I know that it's ringing into here, so I'm okay, I'm safe. And so she laid the handheld phone for the business down next to her with her cell phone. And they started ringing back and forth, calling each other on the phones. And she said that was it. She was done. She was going to turn everything off, hide her head, and go to sleep.
A party. An after party.
After party. Just keeping us all grounded, right?
For people who would like to visit Weston, you have an antique shop there.
Yes, I do. It's next to the Holiday on Main, the liquor store. In the 400 block of Main Street.
The desk is still with you.
The desk is with me. I had an event where I had it out so everyone could see it. But, you know, it got to the point where I just put it back behind me again. So he's right there on my shoulder taking care of me like a guardian angel. So he's with me.
Are you going to go back to Texas for the opening of the time capsule?
Oh, I don't know, but I've been toying with that. When I'm done, or when Captain James, the ghost, is done with me, I'm very seriously thinking about donating it to the historical society in that town.
That's cool. That's so a piece of their history.
That's a piece of their history, yes. And I have it, and I could share it with others more than what I'm sharing now. I mean, he's been a good life for me, so to be with all the people that I get to meet.
There were instances where the desk was there and people would feel like they were being pinched, and it was a toss-up between whether it was him or Vito, one of the old previous owners.
Very true. Very true. We think it was him. But we haven't had much activity in this building, except for some people will come in and say, "You have a ghost here, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." "Well, what does it look like?" Well, we also had another ghost here in this town. It used to be a bakery. The lady's name was Mrs. Stanholtz. And she's present in this building that some people are comfortable with. So it's pulled one to the other. But I really don't talk much about him right now until I make the decision if he needs to go back to Texas, now that I found where he's at.
Your book, Ghost Tales of Weston, it's on your website. And you also have an email for people who want to connect with you.
WestonMainStreetAntiques.com is my website. I am now also a romance novelist. I have two published, and the third one is in the second edit. And these books are about experiences that I've heard, seen in the Kansas City area when I was a restaurant manager for a large chain restaurant. And I like to sit down and talk with people when they eat. And they've told me those stories about Kansas City. I've been in places in Kansas City where the common public don't go. So this book is about set in the 1990s in the Kansas City area, and it's a mafia princess that falls in love with a DEA agent and the little escapades that they get into. It's kind of cute.
So immediately it's complicated.
First page, complicated.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The name of the books, first one is Apricot Jam. The other one is Apricot mm-hmm. Salsa. And there's a third one on the way.
And it's going to be called Apricot is the Color of Her Hair. To tie them all in. Uh-huh.
Okay, so it's a trilogy.
A trilogy at this time.
At this time. Until something says, well, you know.
The people read my books and they say, we want more. You know how that is.
Yes.
But people don't realize that writing and creating is a very taxing job, especially the editing.
The one thing, though, you're not supposed to walk away from, according to the ghosts, and the title is The Keeper of the Ghost Tales of Weston. So when you try to retire from that hasn't happened.
That's not going to happen, is it? Uh-huh. And I'm hoping I can keep on with the Ghost Tales of Weston Dinner Theater and Ghost Tour. We'll see.
Well, this year they're sold out. On the off chance that you can find out information about that, that's also available on the website, WestonMainStreetAntiques.com. Thank you for sharing your stories. You're keeping the ghost happy. That's what counts.
Yes, we are. Mm-hmm. The town loves this ghost. Yes. Come visit.
Thank you, Verna.
Thank you. See you soon. My ghosts aren't mean. They're just tricksters.